This is the Bill Russell Show with Paula Gordon as a sidekick, talking with Simon Singh. And Simon, please tell us how the universe is.
All right, okay. Well, as Bill was saying, quantum physics sounds bizarre, sounds weird. Quantum computers can exploit it to do extraordinary calculations. They can't be built yet, and they may take 100 years before they're built. But the physics is there. And although it sounds bizarre and weird, it's the best model we have, and we use quantum physics in many technological devices, and these devices work. So
you mean right now?
Yeah. So these, you know, the chip inside your computer exploits quantum physics principles in order to work. So this isn't just some deeply philosophical theory; it's real, and it works. And so quantum computers should work. If they do work, they would break many of the codes we have today. We then have something called quantum cryptography, which is using quantum physics to re-establish secrecy. And one of the other weird things about quantum physics, we just said one weird thing is that an object can have can be dead and alive at the same time. Another weird thing is that whenever you look at something, you must change it. If I'm going to look at my hand, I must have a light source. The light rays crash off my hand and into my eye and change my hand in a minuscule way because my hand is so large, but it happens. So if I send a message using individual particles and someone tries to eavesdrop, the act of looking at my message will change it. Therefore, I will know that they're listening, and two, they will not be able to read it properly because they will change it. So quantum physics can destroy security and then reestablish it. And quantum cryptography really is here today. You know, people like Los Alamos have quantum cryptographic communications, and over distances of say 50 kilometers.
One of the fascinating things, other fascinating things you have done, is to make areas that most people think of as boring, dull, uninteresting, not boring, not dull, and they are interesting.
Riveting.
How do you account for that? because we, you know, particularly in this country, we deplore the state of science education and the level of knowledge about science, and there's clearly a lack of understanding in the general public. And yet, you've had a great deal of success telling extraordinarily esoteric stories.
Well, I mean, thank you for the kind words. I mean, it's the word stories. I think you know, I grew up as part of the TV generation, and I watched lots of television and listened to lots of radio and probably read not enough books. But now when I, you know, but the thing about television is it has to grip you, and therefore people tell you stories. And so when I write about science, I try and maintain that narrative, strong plot, a twist, characters who are all real, you know, which makes it, I think, even more extraordinary.
So you don't have to invent them. They're there to be found.
That's it, yeah.
But
yeah.
You do have to find them, and then you got to get them to talk to you.
That
sounds
right.
Like a quantum problem to me. Does it exist and not exist at the same time?
Yep, and then when you interview them, you know, do they actually, the observation of these scientists, does that change them?
But
does it? That's another question. Well, you know, ideally you'd want to have a camera there when these moments of genius happen and record them, but, you know, yeah. And in the story about...
You would change it and it wouldn't happen, and
that's
then
right.
You both wasted your
that's
time.
Right.
But in that sense, that is one of the dangers of... that. At that point, we're talking about an analogy rather than a quantum condition.
Yeah.
There's the
yeah.
tendency to want to take these notions that apply in very, very, very microscopic circumstances and apply... And I say this because there are lots of management theorists that have trashed the notions of uncertainty and a lot of...
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean... And people will say, well, if you know relativity, if everything is relative, then surely then science is no longer objective, and so on and so on. And you have to be very, very careful, as you say.
You have been very careful, and you've told some wonderful stories about things to which I had not had access before. I thank you, Simon Singh.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Simon Singh's books, Fermat's Enigma and now The Codebook, are distinctive and fun. Both give non-mathematicians a glimpse into a magical world propelled by engrossing stories. Thanks, Simon, for your good work. I'm Paula Gordon. I wish you well.